This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
We've loved Audio Adrenaline for so long, and the news that the man we know as Kevin Max from DC Talk, and of course that's even in his own right, has joined Audio Adrenaline is also something that we just are very excited about, especially with Kings and Queens just doing so well here on Hope in Sydney. It's so great to be able to have Will and Kevin on the phone with us today from Audio Adrenaline. Welcome to Sydney, Australia, in a sense, on the phone.
Yeah.
Yes, we love it.
Exciting.
All right, well, tell us how it all happened. How did the relationship between Kevin Max and Audio Adrenaline come together?
it's interesting for sure. We, of course, have been dear friends with Kevin for years, going back to, you know, their band basically found Audio Adrenaline at a little small Bible college that we attended. They came and rocked out for us and then took our tape back to Forefront Records. That's how we got signed. Of course, we did two of the biggest tours ever, Free at Last and Jesus Freak, with them. Spent lots of miles on buses with Kevin. So, you know, and he sang on one of our early records as well. So it's just been a strong history there. And I think we came kind of out of the same era, the same time frame of music, and kind of are wired similarly, and we do ministry the same and have the same heart for, you know, for Christian music and all of that. So it's just a good fit, and you know, at first we didn't think he'd be too into it, but we were excited to ask him, and turns out he didn't know how serious we were, but you know, everyone was way into it, at least exploring the idea, and it's turned out to be a real winner for us.
Got to say, though, Kevin, I've seen the videos, and you, when Michael Tate joined Newsboys, you seemed to have some thoughts about that. And even with this, when I believe Michael approached you and asked you about joining Audio Adrenaline, there was some thought process that went on. Take us through a bit of that. Love to know the backstory.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, honestly, the first time I heard about Tate and Newsboys really took me by surprise. And not really because it was just it was Newsboys. It was more from the fact that I heard that they were covering Jesus Freak and performing it live and putting it on the record and all that kind of stuff. And just to hear all of that at once, it was a little too much for me to swallow. And I was like, "Wow, what is going on?" You know, and you know, it was a bit of a shock. And so at first, I just kind of went on the defensive a little bit and was like, this can't be right, you know? Somebody's sabotaging our old band and, you know, stealing my old singing partner, you know? And when I kind of found out what was going on, talked to Tate several times, found out where his heart was, just realized he was so excited about it. It took me actually going out on the road with them. I sang on their second main release, God's Not Dead and I Am Second. Got to spend time with him in the studio, went on the road with his boys, and man, I just saw firsthand how much, you know, was really enjoying this and how God was using him in a really cool way. And in my opinion, you know, much similar to what we were doing, you know, with DC Talk, but in a way he was able to almost kind of transcend what it was like to be in our band, which was, you know, sharing the stage with two other lead singers. He was able to be a band guy again, which I think is a
little bit.
So, I mean, when I saw that, I mean, and, you know, a few months after that tour with Newsboys, they threw this idea of me doing Audio Adrenaline because Wes Campbell, the manager for Newsboys, had been coming to Will and Mark for quite some time asking them about the reshaping of Audio Adrenaline. So when I thought about these ideas and it was brought to me, I was just kind of like, man, this is a no-brainer for me. I mean, not only do I think I'm a great fit with Audio Adrenaline, I love the guys, and I love what they stood for, and I love Hands and Feet, the nonprofit organization that they're a part of. And yeah, I was really excited to be in a rock band again. I'd been a solo artist for, you know, 12-plus years, and that can drive anybody insane.
Briefly speaking about that old band DC Talk, I mean, people now wonder, because, you know, you're with Audio Adrenaline, if Audio Adrenaline, DC Talk, and Toby Mac were to ever tour together, would you guys get back on stage and perform a couple songs?
Well, I think at that point it'd have to be, you know, it'd have to be a prerequisite to get on stage, right?
Yeah.
I think people would stone us if we didn't, you know. There's already lots of talk, and there's already, you know, lots of people trying to actually put those things together behind the scenes and promoters and things like that. And I know Toby specifically kind of, you know, put his hand out and said, we're not doing that yet, you know, because honestly, we wanted time to grow. Audio Adrenaline needs time to get out on the road and go and become our own group and not have to worry about things like that. And honestly, there's a big story with this band right now, and there's a big story behind this album. So, I mean, I feel like we need to give it its due course and find out where it's going to, you know.
Kevin, both you and Will have, you know, started in the Christian music industry from the 80s through till now. Like, what are some of the big changes within the Christian music scene over those years?
Worship music ruined it all.
Oh.
let's just say what everybody thinks, you know what I mean? But honestly, I mean, I love the heart of all that worship stuff. And in fact, you know, what better way to you know, really, really think about, you know, our Creator and Christ in that kind of format is amazing. But I think that it changed a lot of what, you know, DC Talk and Audio Adrenaline bands like us kind of started out in the industry. It changed it drastically because it started out as more of an entertainment-based genre, and now it's gone more to a church-based genre and you know, even more so, you know, kind of like covering everybody else's music and not really coming up with original material. And I feel like there's nothing wrong with it. I actually enjoy some of it, but I feel like there needs to be some more diversity within the Christian music genre. I think there needs to be pop bands. I think there needs to be rock bands. There needs to be worship acts. There needs to be singer-songwriters. So I feel like it's great that Audio Adrenaline can kind of, you know, be a rock band again.
Are there big enough audiences out there? Has the audience for this music been changed that much that it'd be such a stretch for them to go back to those roots? And I hear what you're saying, and I really do agree with you. Do you think the audience will be there to support those up-and-coming, purely for entertainment Christian artists in that sense?
Man, I think we're feeling a lot of energy around this. I mean, the, you know, Audio A brand was built on hard work and ethics and a great integrity and a great ministry mind, too. We had the things blowing up on stage, but at the same time, during that same show, you'd find a great encounter with God, a great worship moment. And also, we'd pull out our word and we'd share from our hearts, too. So I think it's just a little bit of going back to some of that, you know, having all those elements. But, you know, the new album is going to contain songs that are bridges that connect the two worlds, and then it's also going to contain songs that forge ahead in the new area. So we're really excited about it. We feel like God's doing something way bigger than this band. Kevin briefly touched on it. You know, the real reason, and to be honest, what it would take to get these five guys back out there again and to turn our lives upside down and all of that right now would be only for the sake of orphans. And so that's how Hands and Feet is attached to this thing. It's attached at a deep level. All the net proceeds go back to building orphans in Haiti, building places for them to stay and, you know, people to help them. Kevin and I went down there and shot the video down there. These aren't props. We know their story. We know their heart. We know what God's rescued them from. We know their potential in Him. And so it's exciting stuff for us. You know, we don't see it purely as a vehicle to create music and entertainment, but rather to, you know, a platform to tell this great story, this great love story that God has for these dear orphans down in Haiti. So for us, it's much bigger.
Triple, maybe quadruple purpose behind it, for sure.
Well, tell us a little bit about the new album then. What are you guys, what can we kind of expect from that, I guess, in line with what you were just saying then?
Sure. I mean, it's like I said, it's got songs that remind you, or they kind of jog a memory. They jog a sweet kind of feel or spirit about what audio was, you know, the quirkiness and the poppiness and the danceability of it. And then you've got the rocking stuff on this record too, you know. But also, I believe, thematically, you'll find it speaking about some of the same themes and the heart of what audio was. But then there's some territory that we kind of forge new ground. Of course, Kevin is one of the most incredible vocalists. We couldn't have asked for a more amazing guy to join this band. So that's been a gift from God. And so he opens up a whole new world for us. And although we don't want to, you know, completely abandon our old audio, you know, sound or ways, but, you know, it is going to be beautiful to see kind of what God, how he authors a new story with this thing, kind of a new direction and what he does with it and how it kind of takes on its own shape and form and feel after this first record. You know, we feel like the first record has been a gift from God, but we're even equally excited about the second and the third and more. This is not just one record venture for us. We've dedicated several years to this to see where God would take it, and you know, if he would will, we'd be out there doing this for a good long time again. But musically, it's going to be awesome. I think it's going to be the biggest record audio ever released, coming out in March. You know, our single's the best single we've ever had come out of the box. It's in top 10 now. So there you go. I mean, those two indicators there say that God's doing something big, I think.
Well, you did mention a moment ago that you used to blow things up on stage. Is that still on the agenda for your live shows?
Oh, man. I mean, Kevin and I both come from an era of really making the live show a spectacle and something to be proud of, something to really put your hat on, you know. So we're right in the middle of that designing and creating and coming up with ways to really entertain, but at the same time deliver and support the message, the heart of it. So,
yeah,
you know, there's
so much blowing up as much as, like, you know, I don't know, video content, you know. I mean, blowing up is so 90s.
Pyro back in the day, so, you know, we may do some fun stuff other than pyro and all that again.
Well, Destiny's Child at the Super Bowl came out of trapdoors. You could try that. That looked pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't think we have the budget for such things.
But, oh, well.
We'll have to speak to management or locals, you know. Definitely have the budget for, you know, some good blow-up, you know, blow-up props, you know. Maybe a couple of big A's on either side of the stage.
Yeah.
Something, you know. Confetti.
Good old confetti cannon.
Dreamers.
Look, when we first heard the single Kings and Queens, we instantly loved it. And then hearing the backstory about it, it really adds so much more to this song, and it makes it really have such more longevity in terms of the great cause that no one can knock back or no one can have some kind of conviction in their heart. Can you tell us a bit about the song as we hit play on it in a few moments' time?
Absolutely. One of the first things that was kind of given to me from Mark Stewart, when we first started the writing process, I had several songs that I brought to the guys. And of course, you know, Mark was like, wow, these are great, but they kind of sound like Kevin Mack solo. And I'm like, well, they are Kevin Mack solo. Mm. So what can we do? So he basically said, you know, Hands and Feet really needs a song that can kind of capture the feeling and the intent and the heart of what that organization is trying to do in building those children's villages in Haiti. And being an adopted kid, I completely relate to orphans. And so I thought to myself, man, I need to write this big orphan song. I haven't talked about this much. I did write a song that I pushed to everybody, which was an orphan tune, but it was a little too Beatlesque for the record. I tend to, like, you know, kind of rest back on my old Beatles. When I get on a keyboard and start to play, it immediately starts going John Lennon on me. So, you know, I played this for everybody, and they're like, "Yeah, it's great, but it's a little too much like, you know, the White Album or something." You know, I actually told a friend of mine who's a great songwriter in town who actually danced for DC Talk back in the day. His name is Juan Otero. And he went through similar situations that I did as a kid. And I said, man, can you go away? Because he's really good at writing ballads. And I said, can you go away and write just like an anthem for orphans, you know, across the globe? And he basically came back with this song with two or three other writers. They wrote Kings and Queens, and it's a massive blessing, huge gift for us, and we're excited about its potential, you know.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.